Tuesday, January the 7th, Brachot Daf Dalet. Okay, let's start. So just very quickly, last night we learned that a debate, if there are three or four mishmor, three or four watches during the course of the night, that each time God laments at each one of these mishmorot that he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and the exile of the Jewish people. Then we had the story that Eliyahu and Rav Yossi teaching him you shouldn't daven in a room, and if you should daven rather on the street, and then when you daven on the street, you should daven a short tefillah. And the Gemara had three reasons why we don't daven in the room. And then the Gemara had a whole discussion, what does David HaMelech do? How does he sleep? Does he just, he gets up at midnight and then he learns Torah. He gets up at midnight and then he learns Torah. Then he says, you know, praises unto God, or he dozes off, all discussions, but he clearly doesn't sleep the whole night. And he does some combination of learning and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara says that the Jewish people came from said, we need help. Our economy isn't working. And so basically, David HaMelech says, go make war. I mean, it sounds very, I don't know. It sounds what it sounds like modern economy. I don't know. But that's what it says, you know. Go make war, because war is good for the economy, unfortunately. Sorry? Yeah, kind of. Whatever. I don't know what to say. Okay. So we can start. So the Gemara says the Jewish people took his advice. So we're basically the last line on Gimel Amud Beit, or they took Atzar Achitofel Asher Yatzbei Meim Kasher Yishalish B'Dvar Alim. So they took the advice of Achitofel, and the Gemara now sort of interprets who are the people or what are the organizations that give us our leadership. So the Gemara says Ben Ayahu Ben Yehodaya Zu Sanhedrin. He represents the head of the Sanhedrin. He was the Abbeitin, and they're of course the body that represents the decision making process of the Jewish people. Avyatar Elu Urim Vitumim, that's what the Kohen Gadol. You ask a specific question, and somehow through some kind of lettering that shows up, and then the Kohen Gadol has to figure out how to put it together, you're told if you can go to war. That's often they use the Urim Vitumim to say if you're allowed to go to war. V'cheinu Omer, u'benayahu ben Yehodaya al ha-kreti v'al ha-pleti. Benayah ben Yehodaya was in charge of the Kreti u'pleti. The Kreti u'pleti is the name of a sefer written by the Nodi Behuda, I believe. Right, so the Gemara wants to know, v'lama nikra, why is the Sanhedrin called Kreti u'pleti? V'lama nikra shvam Kreti u'pleti. So Kreti, shekortim divrem, the word karet, it cut off, they are decisive. The Sanhedrin makes a decision, they do, we're three lines on Dalet Amud Aleph. Pleti, shemuflaim, from Pella, they're wandering. The words they say, the things they do are wondrous and great. So Kreti u'pleti, Sanhedrin makes clear decisions for the benefit of the Jewish people. Bacharkach, so after going through this sort of a religious rites to go to war through this the Sanhedrin, the Urim Vitumim, then they go to the military commandment. Bacharkach, the Tsar Tzva LeMelech Yoav. Then they have to ask the military, is it a wise decision from a political military point of view? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bam Bar Adav, Amar Le Amar Yitzchak, Braid Rav Idi, Mike Ra. We're going back to the notion that David HaMelech would wake up at exactly at midnight. And the Gemara said, we learned yesterday that he had a harp, a lyre, whatever, wake him up at midnight. So how do you know that? So from the Pasuk, we all know in the song, Ura Kavodi, Ura Hanevel. He gets up through the Chinor Aira Shachar, through the songs, the sounds of the musical instrument, he wakes up the dawn. Waking up at midnight, that doesn't directly say midnight, but that's an allusion to waking up at midnight. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the question the Gemara asked yesterday, David HaMelech, how did he know it was midnight? So the Gemara says he had the harp, it was set up in a specific way, the winds blew, apparently they knew, and therefore when the sound would wake him up, more, I don't know if it was exactly at midnight, but that's what the Gemara says. We're about eight lines on the top. The last word on the line. Rabbi Zeira Amar. So he says, so Moshe, because Moshe said, Kichatzot Halayla, because it's impossible to know the exact moment of midnight. So Rabbi Zeira Amar, Moshe Le'olam Hava Yadei. So the Gemara says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu did know when midnight was. It wasn't like we said yesterday. How can Moshe Rabbeinu know? He knew. Ve'dabi Nami Yada. And David Melech also knew exactly when midnight was. Since he knew, Kinor Lamali, So why did he need the kinor to wake him up? The Gemara says, in other words, why did he need the kinor to tell him when it was midnight? So Gemara said he didn't need to tell him it was midnight in case he fell asleep. He needed to wake him up. And the alarm clock, I know when 6 o'clock in the morning is, but if the alarm clock doesn't go off, I'm not going to get up at 6 o'clock. So that was his alarm clock to get up at midnight. And so that explains why David HaMelech needed a signal that it was at midnight. And since Moshe knew exactly when midnight was, why did Moshe say that God is going to take the Jewish people out kichatzot halayla, around midnight? So he says, Moshe kasavar, Shema Yit'u Atznige Paro. The astrologers of Egypt, Moshe knew it was midnight, but the astrologers of Egypt wouldn't know it's exactly midnight. They said, Moshe, you said it's midnight. It wasn't midnight. You were off by 20 minutes. You're like a nobody. It was really for PR purposes. He was afraid. He knew, but he didn't want anybody to hold him to account. So he said it's around midnight. V'yomru Moshe Padayhu. Moshe's he's a false prophet. Damar Mar, Lameid Lishon Chalomar Eine Yodeh. It's a beautiful idea. You should learn to say, I don't know. Rav Schachter, and I was in Ashir for 4 years at Yeshiva University. One of the things I really picked up from him is the amount of times he said, I don't know. And believe me, he knows more than almost anybody alive. And yes, I don't know. I don't know. You don't be afraid to say, I don't know. So that's what the Gemara says. Lameid Lishon Chal, teach your lips, or Tislomar Eine Yodeh. Because if you claim things that aren't true, then even what you say is true, people won't believe you, right? So,
Correct.
So Moshe knew when midnight was going to be, but since the astrologers of Egypt couldn't know when midnight was, Moshe didn't want to say exactly, because, and he couldn't prove it. So Shema Titpadevatechez, because maybe you will make a mistake, etc. Ravashi gives a different answer, why he says kechatzot halayla, not because he wanted to hedge his bet, so to speak. Ravashi mar bepalga urta detleya sarnagi arbasar habe, or the first white line. It was the previous night. It was the night between the 13th and the 14th. So kechatzot doesn't mean approximately at midnight. It means the same way tonight, at this point, tomorrow night, like midnight of tonight, kechatzot of this layla, tomorrow night, you'll be leaving Egypt. Go, kechatzot is not an approximation of the time. It's linking the days. V'hachi kamar Moshe Yisrael. And this is what Moshe said to the Jewish people. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is telling us, l'machar kechatzot halayla ki ha'idna. Tomorrow night, like we are tonight, at this exact moment, 24 hours later, ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. Okay, end of the subject. Now the Gemara is going to go back to David HaMelech. I'm going to talk, interesting how David perceived himself. I mentioned yesterday, David HaMelech, the reason Tehillim is such the book we use at every occasion is because David HaMelech represents every occasion. A warrior, a singer, a person who taught Torah, king, people, one who sinned and did the tshuva, every sort of emotion, every facet of life went through David HaMelech, and he expresses all these different aspects of life in Tehillim. So Tehillim becomes a real thing for life. It's all the ups and downs that he had. So David HaMelech here says, "L'David shamra nafshi." David HaMelech is kind of saying to God, "Guard my soul." Ki chasidani. He's telling God, you know, I may have sinned, I may have done improper things, but when it comes down to it, I'm a chassid, I'm a righteous person, and take that into account. Ani. So Rav Yitzchak, Levi ve Rav Yitzchak. So Levi, I'm sorry. Yes, that is a quote in Tehillim, in Peivav. If you have it in the side of the Gemara, it should say by the Torah or Sham Peivav. This is in Tehillim 86. Yes, the David Shamra Nafshi Ki Chasidani. Levi, who is, I believe, from the first generation of Amoraim, a contemporary of Rav and Shmuel, I believe. Levi Rav Yitzchak Chad Amar. So this happens very often when the Gemara quotes two people. Sometimes say Amar Rav, Amar Shmuel, but sometimes quotes two people. One says this, one says that. They don't know. They're talking 100 years later. They know there were two opinions. They don't know who said what. So they're like one of the two. Chad Amar, Kach Amar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did David HaMelech mean when he said he's a chassid? He says, Lo chassid ani. Aren't I righteous? Look how great I am. Shekol Malachei Mizrach Umarav, all the kings in the east and the west, Yeshenim at Shaloshot. They wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, as we discussed yesterday. That's why we can say, Kriyat Shema, we're all kings, because that's the latest time people wake up. Vani, That's also a quote in Tehillim. I get up in the middle of the night to sing praises to God. You know, how many people want to get up in the middle of the night to go to shul? I say slichas every night at midnight. We do once a year or a week a year. We don't want to do once a year. The rest of the week, 9:30. Who's going to get up at midnight, right? The idach, and the other opinion is kachamar David livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalola, Master of the Universe. Lo chasid ani, am I not a chasid? Shechom achem mizrachu marav. All the kings of the east and the west, yoshvim agudot agudot bichvadam. They're all worried about pomp and ceremony. They sit up on the bima that they get honor. They sit groups, agudot agudot bichvadam for kavod. Vani, what do I do? This is a beautiful idea, the job of a rabbi, so to speak. Meluchlot bedam. I roll up my sleeves, get my hands dirty. Literally get my hands dirty. Bedam u'beshafir u'beshliya. I get my hands dirty in the blood of a woman, a menstruating woman, and the blood of the placenta, the blood of a newborn baby, and a miscarriage, to find out, is it considered a birth that the woman is now, is tamir or tahor, that can she be intimate with her husband, right? So I have to deal with it. That was a very important role of the rabbi, to answer Shilas and in Taras HaMishpacha. That's why we started now Yotzot Halacha, so people would feel, I'm sorry? David HaMelech is more. That's what he's saying. I'm a religious leader. I'm a religious king. All the other kings are pomp and ceremony and parades and who knows what. They don't do anything. They sleep in the morning and they get honored all day, and servants and harems and who knows what. And I'm sitting there. People are coming to me asking. The Gemara has this very the Gemara by the Asara Haruge Malchut. The Medrash quotes, I think, by Rabbi Shmuel. Two of them were asking, "Why? What do we do wrong that we deserve to be killed?" The way the Medrash presents it, didn't it once happen that a lady came to you with a shayla? You told her to wait 5 minutes. I'm eating dinner. I'll answer your shayla in 5 minutes. So that 5 minutes delay, that she doesn't know if she'd be intimate with her husband, is worthy for you to be killed. I mean, it's a horrific. It's a powerful. Right. It doesn't. But that's the way leading rabbis would talk to each other, that the smallest things, just like Moshe Rabbeinu got punished for the smallest thing. This is considered a big, big deal to allow a husband to be intimate with his wife. So that's what David HaMelech did. He was dealing with these questions. While everybody's out partying, he's dealing with, in the privacy, with these questions. Kedei letaher, ishalabala. So a woman can be with her husband. That we discussed yesterday, the husband and the man and woman are talking in bed before the sunrise. This is okay. Below what I told you, everything's in Gemara. Below what ela koma shani oseh aninim lach b'mifi boshet. And everything I do, I don't just do it on my own. I consult with other people. I consult with Mifi Boshet, Rebbe. He's my teacher. Omer lo Mifi Boshet. I said to him, Rebbe, my master, Yafeh Danti, did I judge nicely? Yafeh Chayavti, did I say no properly? Yafeh Zachiti, they say he's guilty, innocent, in the proper way. Yafeh Taharti, Yafeh Timeti. Sometimes it's Tahor, sometimes it's Tami. Were my rulings all correct? The lo Boshti, I wasn't embarrassed to ask. He's the king. What do you mean king takes advice? The king gives advice. The king doesn't take advice in a sense. So he wasn't embarrassed to find out where his ruling's correct. He did self-assessment on what he did. So the Gemara says, beautiful. Amar Rav Yoshua Breda Rav Idi, Maikra, Va'adabra Beidotech. How do you know this? What's the biblical sort of like backing? Va'adabra, I will speak Beidotech in your... In your testimonies, to make sure that I'm fulfilling the Torah. There probably I got to speak to other people to make sure. We learn with the whole notion of learning with a chavrusa is to bounce off ideas. So you'll do and make sure you're right. I think that was the famous comment. That's one of the reasons they banned the Netziv book. The book my uncle the Netziv. So, you know, based on the Makor Baruch of his nephew. You know, that was the famous book Lakewood banned many years ago. So I think all reasons, why did they ban it? What was so terrible? So he said, had the Rambam learned with the Chavrusa, he wouldn't have made so many mistakes. Right. In other words, the Rambam, he contradicts himself all the time. That's what, if you're a great first yeshiva, you have to figure out the contradictions of the Rambam. And he said, no, he made a mistake. He contradicted himself. Why? Because he didn't learn with the Chavrusa, he learned by himself. So let me point out. So people didn't like that, but maybe, I don't know. But anyways, that's just... Yeah, well, they found it for other reasons too. He read newspapers on Shabbos, and they said he wasn't so smart. He got the, which I think it was. I'm sorry.
It's a chapter on women.
Right, chapter on women learning. He did all these modern things that didn't jive with modern day thinking in that the Lakewood world. So they sent out a letter. We sent you this book for fundraising. Please don't read the book. It was about 25 years, 30 years ago. They said, please don't read the book. So that was the first Art School book I went out to read. They're going to tell me not to read it. You have to go read it. You know, what's so terrible? It's really a translation. It's an exerted translation of the Makor Baruch. The Makor Baruch was written by the Torah Tmimaj between the world wars. He didn't have any spar in World War I dislocation, so he wrote memoirs, about 1,500 pages. I have it at home. I haven't read most of it, but four volumes, Makor Baruch, tells the whole story. The Epstein was his name. They said their name wasn't really Epstein. They are Spanish exilees. I forget what their original name was.
Benavides.
What was it?
Benavides.
Benavides. There you go. Thank you. Right. So a Haredi rabbi took little excerpts of all his relationships with his uncle, the Netziv. And they wrote the book in English, My Uncle the Netziv, based on the Torah Tmimah, who lived with his uncle for 5 years. When he learned in Valashin, he lived at his uncle's house. So there's nobody alive today. Like they said, the book doesn't reflect the notion of people who knew him best. But all right, we don't have to get into that now, but it's just interesting. But the importance of learning with a chavruta. Tana, so that Gemara says, Lo mipi boshet shmo, ala ish boshet shmo. I don't exactly understand why the Gemara is making a big deal about this, but okay. Ish boshet shmo. His name was a person, a boshet. V'lama nikra shmo mipi boshet. Why was he called mipi boshet? Sheyam mivayesh p'nei David balacha. He wiped the floor with King David. Like he embarrassed him in halacha. He knew much more than David. David HaMelech is very busy. He's the king. He's a military, all kinds of things. He's writing Tehillim. I don't know. He's doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
Ishbal, son of Shaul, but Mephibosheth was another one.
Yeah, I think they're two different people. That's what they're forcing point out. But he was mevayesh pnei David balacha. Lefichach zacha David v'yatzam imenu kalev. All my father. In other words, he was rewarded with a very righteous son. David had the humility to consult, not to be embarrassed. Vama Rav Yochanan, lo kalev shmo. We have this a lot. We adjust, we assign people to other people. Eli Daniel shmo. Velama nikro shmo kalev. Sheya machlim, that's also busha uchlima. Sheya machlim pnei b'mifivoshet palacha. So he was even greater than Mephibosheth. David is the lowest. His son is the highest, and Mephibosheth is in the middle. Balav Shlomo b'chachmato, another son. Alav Amar Shlomo b'chachmato. Bini im chacham libcha yismach libi. If you have a wise son, we know you're very happy. Everybody gets nachas from their children. The Gemara says everybody's jealous of everybody, with two exceptions: a parent to a child, and the second exception, a Rebbe to a student. A Rebbe loves it when his student supersedes him, if he's a proper Rebbe. Otherwise, rabbis are jealous of rabbis, and doctors are jealous of doctors. That's life. People are jealous. Why him? Why not me? Except in these. So, b'ni im chacham libcha yismach libi gamani. If you're happy, if my children are happy, that's what they say. How happy is a parent? As happy as their least happy child, right? That's what they say. That's as happy a parent can be. Okay. V'omer chacham b'ni samach lei v'ashiva chorpi davar. This is a very similar idea. Okay. V'davi mi kari l'nafshe chasid. So now the Gemara says, whoa. David HaMelech calling himself, right? It's a little bit arrogant. David HaMelech, what do you mean? He thought he's a chasid. V'achdi, we say it in Elul. Lulei hamanti l'ropetu v'ashem. If not for the fact that I would have believed in God, I would have been wiped out. V'eretz chayim. V'tane v'shmei d'rav yosi. Lama nakuda lulei. They're dots. Yeah, got that in the Torah. They're dots on lulei. So what does that infer to us? Amar David ibn HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Muftach ani, I know for sure. I have no doubt. Shata mishalem schar tov letzadikim. You give reward to the righteous. It doesn't always appear that way in the world, but I know you will give reward to the righteous. Latid lavo, in the future. Avaleini yodeim yeshli chelek v'neim. But I don't know if I'm among the righteous. He did some terrible sins. Maybe I'm not included in the righteous. Im lav shema yikrom hachet. Perhaps the sins I've done will cause me to be knocked out of the chassid. Sorry? Right. The answer is, I know there's reward for the righteous, but I don't know that I'm righteous. Why does he know if he's righteous? Maybe his sin caused him not to be righteous. Who else had this fear? Kinder Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. This follows what Rav Yaakov Eidi had taught to Rav Yaakov Eidi Rami. Rav Yaakov Eidi raised the following question, Ramin, who the same idea. God tells Yaakov Avinu, when he's running away from Esav, in the beginning of Vayetze, he has the dream, I will be with you and guard you, wherever you go. And Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. All the commentaries ask, God just gave him a promise to protect him. What's he afraid of? He doesn't believe in God. Even if you believe in God, God can give you a promise. The promise is on certain conditions. You don't live up to the conditions. Promise is gone. It's very important, like Musa for us. We should, people, the political realm, God promised us Israel, God promised us this, God didn't promise us anything. He made us keep the mitzvot. If we keep the mitzvot, don't worry about his promises, he'll take care of them. But to rely on promises of God is never a good idea. It's never. Kedetanya, how do you know who you are? You're such a chassid. Kedetanya, Adyavor, we have a similar teaching. Adyavor Amcha Hashem, this is by the Shira when they crossed the Yamsuf. Adyavor Amzukanita. So the Gemara, why does it say it twice? Adyavor Amcha Hashem, Zubiya Rishona. That's the first time we came to Israel. Adyavor Amzukanita, Zubiya Shnia. That's the second time, in the time of Ezra, we came to Israel. So there's a link between the time we came with Yoshua, Moshe and Yoshua, and with Ezra. Mikan amru chachamim, from here the sages say, Ruim ayu Yisrael le'asot lehem neis, b'mei Ezra. There should have been the miracles, the walls tumbling down, all the miracles in the desert, everything that happened in the time of Ezra, just like in the time of Yoshua, but that did not happen. Didn't happen, it's very natural. They had a conquer it naturally, and very few Jews went up, only 42,000 Jews went up. Most people stayed in Babel. Okay, the sin caused that not to happen. Okay, you always have to be worried about that. Don't ever rely on God. Okay, back to our original machlokin in the Gemara, back to the Mishnah. Three opinions until when you can say Kriyat Shema, until Ashmur HaRishona, 10 o'clock, you said, until Chatzot, or the morning. So the Chachamim don't make any sense, because we said either means while you're going to sleep or while you're sleeping. But Chatzot is Nishtahin Nishtahir. It's like it's after people have gone to sleep, but people are still sleeping. So why is Chatzot a demarcation point? That's really what the Gemara is asking. Chachamim keman sviralhu. Who do they hold like? They can't be this own opinion. Ik Rabbi Eliezer. If they all like Rabbi Eliezer, sviralhu. Name Ruk Rabbi Eliezer. Let them say like Rabbi Eliezer. Vi Rabban Gamliel. And if they hold like Rabban Gamliel, that it's while you're sleeping all night, sviralhu. Name Ruk Rabban Gamliel. So the Gemara says, La'olam k'Rabban Gamliel svirahu. They all look like Rabban Gamliel. V'had dekam rei ad chatzot. Why did it say ad chatzot? We already had this in the Mishnah. K'dei l'archik adetam min ha'beira. Really, they say all night, but they want to put a precautionary tale. K'dei tanya, as we learned. Chachamim asu siyag didifrayim. The Chachamim made a fence to their words, the words of the Torah, because otherwise people... At the hydro pools, you put a fence. You don't let people go up to the last minute. You don't put the cliff. You put a fence there. Person comes home from the field at night. He's out in the field working. Vomer. So what's he going to do? What's the first thing he's going to do when he gets? He's tired. So elech lebeiti. I'm going to go home. Ochel kima. I'll eat a little bit. The ashta kima. I'll drink a little bit. The ishan kima. I'll sleep a little bit. Vacharka. Then I'll go to shul. Vacharkach. Or I won't go to shul. Acharkach ekra kriyat shma be'et palel. And that's what I'll do. What happens? V'chot v'yoshina, and he falls asleep, and he doesn't get up. He misses. V'nimsa yashen, kol alayla. He misses Kriyat Shema. He sleeps all night. Aval Adam, he falls asleep watching, you know, television. Aval Adam, bamin hasada be'erev. What should happen? You come and feel at night. Nichnas lebeit knesset. Before you go home, on the way home from work, you stop off in shul. Stop off in shul. Im ragil likrot korei. It's beautiful. Not just to daven. What do you do when you come to shul? If you're read Tanakh, likrot, reading, that's the Torah Shabbat, read it. Im ragil lishnot, if you're capable to learn Mishnayos, to learn sort of Torah Shabbat, shoneh, doesn't mean the, okay, shoneh. And then, waits a few minutes, the korei kriyat shema mipalel, then he goes, v'ochel pito mevarach. V'chola over al divrei chachamim, and whoever violates the words of the sages, chayav mita. Whoa. Is there worthy of death? A person who falls asleep because he ate first before he said Kriyat Shema is Chayav Mita. It doesn't mean that you kill him. I mean, the very what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. Which, by the way, there is a halacha. You're not allowed. You're not just like in the morning. You're not allowed to eat before you daven. It's true at night. So there's a heter at night if you have a minyan kavua. If you go every night to the 9:30 minyan, so you won't forget. But if you go to minyan irregularly, then you have to daven before you eat. You're not allowed to eat before you daven. That's halacha. So the Gemara says, but still, this is strong language. There are lots of rabbinic laws. We don't say you're worthy of death. So if I let everything, not the end of the world. Rav Shach used to say, you know, if you have like a non-religious father, or it says a non-religious, if your father doesn't daven mari with the minyan, doesn't mean he's not religious. That's not the definition of non-religious. Didn't daven mari, not such a big avera. Like when I say chayav mita, it's not such a big deal. Umayshna hacha diktani chayav mita. So the truth of the matter, that's often is the case. The things that are less important, you have to stress more. Because it's very common that people fell asleep. So the rabbis wanted to stress it's important. Apparently it was very common. And if you want, since many people said you don't have to daven Marif, as we know that was a long-standing dispute, whether Marif is optional. So this opinion wanted to stress, it's not optional, we're going to kill you. You're the thing of death if you don't daven Marif. Of course it doesn't mean it. Okay. Amar Mar. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the order of what you did. You say Shema and then you daven. So we're going to hear something pretty wild now. We don't do this. So that's why you'll consider it wild. Amar Mar. Remember, I said Amar Mar is means you're going back to something we already learned. Korei Kriyat Shema Mitpalo. Messiah, this comes to support the view of Rav Yochanan. Why? Who's Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan is a tragic figure in many. Rav Yochanan, I believe, is the Amora most often quoted in the Gemara. That's what I was told. I did not do a computer check. Rav Yochanan is the first generation. He lives in Israel, though. Unlike Rav and Shmuel and this, he's the leading rabbinic authority right after the time of the Mishnah. We'll see in a little bit, in a page or two, a very tragic story. He lived a very long life. That's true. And he was very heavy. He was very heavy. And he was considered very handsome, very beautiful. And the Gemara says he lost 10 children in his lifetime. And he used to walk around with the tooth of his youngest child to comfort people, like whatever. So, but anyways, Rav Yochanan is the leading sage in Eretz Yisrael. Ezu ben olam haba. Now we're going to see, on the one hand, you're chayv mita. So we're going to exaggerate, I would say, on both ends. If you want to get to olam haba, say, how do you get to olam haba? You get stuck, you're nice to people, don't talk lashon hara. How do you get to olam haba? Zeh somech gula l'tvila shel arvit. Wow, that's pretty easy. You say Ga'al Yisrael, and then you daven Shmon Esrei, that's it. Ge'ula L'tvila, you're going to Olam Haba. So obviously it means something more. It means appreciating what Ge'ula means. It means appreciating Tvila. But the simple meaning, very, very simple. A person who says Ga'al Yisrael, that's straight to Olam Haba. Now, besides the extreme reward, which is nice, the order is interesting. Because Rav Yeshua ben Levi disagrees. Omer Tvilat Be'emsa Tiknum. No. Mariv Yistavin Shmona Esrei before Shema. It's what we said, ABBA. You say Shema in the morning, Shmona Esrei in the morning. Shmona Esrei in the evening, and Shema in the evening. Tfilot are in the middle. Kriyat Shema has to start your day and end your day. B'shach b'cha uvkumecha. Makes a lot of sense. Kriyat Shema, not like the way we do it. So that's Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, Tfilah is in the middle. So obviously you're not so mech gula l'tfilah. Because you said the bracha Gal Yisrael before Shmones, and you don't do it in that order. So what is the basis of their argument? If you say they can see it's alluded in the verses in the Chumash, or it's just a logical argument. It's always interesting when the Gemara has that. It can be, I give you biblical evidence. I don't need biblical evidence. I'll give you a logical argument. The Gemara if you want, it's a svara. The Rav Yochanan Savar, Geula Meorta Nami Have. When did the Geula happen? The redemption of Egypt. It began at midnight, Kachatzot Halayla, Katzot Halayla, but we didn't actually leave Egypt till the next day. But the Geula happened at night, Velo Havye Ella at Safra. But the Geula didn't really happen till the morning. So, okay, Rav Yeshua ben Levi Savar Kevan de Lo Avi Elamit Safri Lo Avi Gal Yuma Al Yata. So does that count? Is there Geula at night or not? So Rav Yochanan says, yes, there's Geula at night. If it began the process, Ka'al Yisrael comes first. And Rav Yehuda Levi says, nah, that doesn't count. Heaven night doesn't count. The Geula, Ka'al Yisrael, that's what the whole bracha, the Mitzrayim, it's all about Egypt. It's all about leaving Egypt. So that's only in the morning. It's only in the morning before Tefillah. Rashi points out very sort of obvious in a sense that Geula L'Tefillah is like a message that says, what does Geula mean? Geula means we thank God. God, thank you. You redeemed us. You're wonderful. Thank you for redeeming. What's Tefillah? God, please help us. We ask you. So you tell God, you butter him up, so to speak. So that's the time you ask him for something. In other words, it's like the king is right there. So the king is right there. You might as well go and daven. Once you've done Geula, it's time to daven. Be by day makra, or if you want, it can be based on a verse, and they each interpret the verse slightly different. Ushnei mikra achad darshu. They both take the same verse, but it's how you all interpret it, which in of itself is interesting, because the Torah is ambiguous. When you lie down and when you get up. So Rav Yochanan says like this, you have to compare getting up and lying down. We compare the two. Makima, when you get up in the morning, Kriyat Shema v'acharkach Tefillah. First you say Kriyat Shema, then you daven. So Av Shkiva, Nami is also Kriyat Shema v'acharkach Tefillah. Okay, I'm Yeshua ben Levi Savar, Maki Shkiva Lakima. The same thing, we compare getting up and going to bed, or Makima Kriyat Shema Samuch Lamitata. When you get up in the morning, you say Kriyat Shema before you daven. So Av Shkiva, so when you go to bed, you have to say Kriyat Shema right next to our bed. Samuch Lamitata. In other words, you can't learn anything from what the Pasuk says, because you can interpret it either way you want. But each one can find meaning in the Pasuk. Okay. Mativ mer brei de Ravina. Mativ means a question. Mativ meitve means a question. It means to sit down, hold your horses, take a seat. I got to ask you a question. Be'erev mevarech shtaim lefaneha v'shtaim lachareha. We know that in the evening there are two brachot. There's Gaal Yisrael and Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad. Baruch Hashem L'olam Amen V'Amen. Tosfot talked about here was added later. And our minhag in this shul is not to say it. That's based on the Vilna Gaon. It's nothing to do with Israel, as I've said many times. It's nothing to do with Israel. It's with the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon's customs were accepted in Israel because it was the students who set up all the first religious communities in Israel. So, but it was set up for people who used to come late to shul, and they would daven in the fields. They came from the fields, and we learned, and it would be dangerous to leave alone. So here everybody leaves. The guy comes late tomorrow. Everybody walks out of shul, and they said, the last guy, you turn off the light when you leave. So we didn't want the guy leaving on his own. We didn't want anybody being shul alone at night in the field. So they instituted Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen. So for the people who came late, everybody would say Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen. And the guy who came late would skip it, and he'd catch up. That's the reason. And it has 18, or there's another view, it was said instead of Shemon Esrei. He would say Baruch Hashem Olam instead of Shemon Esrei, and it has 18 times the name of God to correspond to the 18 Shemon Esrei. It's actually, it's a beautiful tefillah. I people don't complain, you don't say it, I'm not, but when I go to shul and I do say it, I actually like to say it. Once in a while, I like to say Baruch Hashem, it's okay not to say it every night, but if I go to shul and I say it, I don't skip, people, I don't say it, it's not my minhag. So no, once in a while, it's nice to say, there's some nice words there. Okay, anyways, so you have to make two brachot before, that's Hamariv Aravim and Oheva Mo Yisrael, and then the two brachot afterwards. The Iyamard by Lemismach Halokasa Mekula Dutvila. Whoa. We don't say Kal Yisrael Amari. We don't call Kal Yisrael. In the morning, we have a minah, different views that the Chazan doesn't even say Kal Yisrael out loud. Because he doesn't, you don't even answer Amen. You're not supposed to answer Amen to that bracha. So in order that people don't answer Amen, because Geula Dutvila, zero breaks in between. You're not supposed to say Yalla V'Yavo. That's why they could. At Mariv, you can say Yalla V'Yavo. You can say the words when the chazan finishes kaddish. You can yell out Yalla V'Yavo. At Shachrit, they go like this, because you're not supposed to talk at all between Geula L'Tefillah. So we have a whole bracha. What do you mean, Mismach Geula L'Tefillah? Well, Hashkivenu. A whole bracha. Then we don't say Geula L'Tefillah. So that's the Gemara's question. So we by Lismach, Halo Kasamik Geula L'Tefillah. The Habayla Meimar Hashkivenu. Which Amru, so they say, nah, kevan de tikun rabbanan hashkivenu. It's a funny, since the rabbis instituted kikuula arichta dami. It's like a long, it's actually gula. What does that mean? So I think what it means, gula means about Egypt. Hashkivenu is that God should protect us when we go to sleep at night. So there's the gula of history and there's the gula that applies to us every day. In other words, hashkivenu is part of the gula, even though the brach, you have another brach, it's a continuation of Gal Yisrael. The ilo tema hachi, because if you wouldn't say this, shachrin hechi matzi samich, what about in the morning? In the morning, we also don't say gula latvila. Why? Because we had a pasuk, Hashem svatai titach. You say that because you're so used to it being part of the davening, but it's not. It's not part of the Shvon Esrei. That's a prayer before we pray. Hashem svatai titachu v'yagiti latecha. Right? Hechi matzi samich v'amar Rav Yochanan b'tchila omer Hashem svatai titach u'besof yihiyulu ratzoni v'fiik yoni v'fanecha. That's also not part of the Shvon Esrei. Elahatam kevan detiknu rabbanan l'meim. Where since the rabbis thought that was important to say, Hashem svatai titach k'tvila richta tami. Hachinami kevan detiknu rabbanan l'meim rashkivenu k'gula richta. Okay. All right. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Avinah. We're doing pretty well on this time. You know? I keep looking at the clock. Yes.
Good question.
Sure.
How much before the codification of the Mishnah would the Seder of Tefillah then organize it?
So we know from the Gemara and Megillah that Shmon Esrei was instituted by Shimon HaPikuli. He lived early in the Mishnah. The Gemara says the Anshei Knesset HaGdola set up. So Anshei Knesset HaGdola is 5th century BCE, Ezra. Ezra is probably the founding member of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So as the beginning of the Second Temple already, the first Siddur that we know of is the Siddur of Amram Galam, 8th century, no Siddur. And different communities obviously had different practices. But you see already in the Gemara, we're going to now pick up Ashrei. Ashrei is going to come up right now. But the Shmona Esrei was instituted by Ezra, by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And then the Gemara says later on, Shimon Kuli, they reinstituted it, and then Shmuel HaKatan, that's the time of Rav Gamliel. So it's a generation after the destruction of the temple, but it's still two generations before the writing of the Mishnah, around the year 100, 110, Shmuel HaKatan as the Bracha V'Loshinim, as Christianity is getting a foothold, and Jews, you have Jewish Christians coming to shul. They didn't go to church, they went to shul. They wanted to take over the shuls, belief in Jesus, so they instituted V'Loshinim against the Hebrew Christians. So that was around the year 100, and the Mishnah is around the year 220. And the Siddur was never meant to be codified. The whole Siddur is not meant to be codified. It's supposed to come from the heart. You can't codify the heart. But we have no choice. People wouldn't know what to do without it. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Avinah. Kol omer tihilah leDavid, what we call Ashrei, b'chol yom shalosh pamim. That's another one of these wild statements. Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Obviously, it's not just saying it. Yeah, if you live it, but you have to live. Chanun, Tov Hashem, right? You have to emulate God. We have to be good, etc. But if you say Ashrei 3 times a day, Muftach lo shu ben olam. You're guaranteed. So God, come to shul. Gal Yisrael, Ashrei, you're in. You're in olam haba. Okay. Hacha my tama. Why? What's so special about Ashrei? Ilema mishum da aleph beit. We know aleph beit is such a major theme, especially Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because we know we praise God from A to Z. Right, aleph beit. Wow. So aleph beit. So that's a nice thing to do. Aleph beit. El Adon. All the praises of God are often done by alphabetics. So it's new. Say Tehillim Kuf Yotet. God 8 times the aleph beit. Ashrei tmimei derech da'atye v'tamye apim. You should say it. Ashrei only says it once. That's the most important pasuk. They always happen to sit, or you know, should concentrate extra hard. God feeds the whole world, so that's why. So new, I can say halal hagadol. I can say halal the 26. Hodu Lashem kitov kilum chasto. No tem lechem lechol basar. That's the same thing. It's better than Ashrei. So the answer is deep betray. Tarti has both. It's the Aleph Beit and it says God. Okay, so you see something. You have to praise God from A to Z. And the biggest praise of God is that He sustains, He supports people. He gives you food to eat. That's when you give food to somebody to eat, the parent gives a child, that's the biggest praise you can give. That's the basic mitzvah of tzedakah. The number one mitzvah of tzedakah is to give to a food bank, for sure. Today in Canada and in the West, thank God, not so many people, nobody has to go hungry. It's not like people starve. But still, there are people Israel is one of the worst rates of poverty in the world. Israel is one of the I think Israel has the biggest gap between wealthy and poor in the Western world. You know that. It's very sad. We've got a lot of wealth and a lot of real poverty. Some of the poverty is self-imposed, in a sense. People don't go to work. But still, Israel has a huge, that just came out, about 30% of children under 18 in Israel live in poverty. It's a staggering statistic. It's frightening. It's unbelievable. But anyway, so that's the number one stock is that people have food to eat. I agree.
Abject African poverty.
Yeah, I agree. It probably isn't that. Yeah, it's based on the median income, and you have a percentage. But these people are not eating pizza, and they're not getting ice cream and sushi and whatever. And I'm sure, and people do go to bed hungry in Israel. They go to, they're not full. I don't know. I don't know exactly what's the problem. What Leket Israel, all these things. He's not the only one. There are all these food banks in Israel because you need it. Vahafta, I don't know, all the groups here. Anyway, but that's the number one stock, and that's what God does. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Yochanan. Mifnei ma'alon emar nun ba'ashrei. Mifnei sheish ba'mav polatan. The fall, sonei Israel. That's a euphemism for the Jewish people. Nafla lo tosib kum betulat Yisrael. The Jewish people will fall. They're not going to rise again. That's a very sad prophecy. You're going to be knocked down. Lo nafla. Marava, but in the West, in Israel, they were more optimistic. Netarze lahachi. They explain the pasuk slightly different. Nafla lo tosif lean fall. You fell down. You won't continue to fall. Kum betulat Yisrael. Rise up. In other words, you fell. You will nafla lo tosif. You will not fall anymore. It's not. You will not. It's not that you fell. You will not rise. You fell, you will not more, you will rise. That's how they're interpreting the pasuk. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afilu Hachi. Nonetheless, so we don't want to say nun, because nun represents fall. We all know that David's alluded to it. V'samcham Baruch HaKodesh, you had divine inspiration. Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. So we indirectly mentioned the nun in Noflim.
What's the problem
with nun? It's the falling down of the Jewish people and for our sins, and we're going to be punished. Amar Rav Elazar bar Avina, Gadol Masha Neemar b'Michael Yoter Masha Neemar b'Gavriel. Okay, different angels. I don't know what this means. The Ilu b'Michael Ktiv Ayaf Eli Achad Min Asrafim. He could get somewhere without any refueling. When the angel went to do something on one mission, Achad Min Asrafim. Ilu Gavei Gavriel Vayish Gavriel Ashariti B'Chazon. When I saw him Ma'op Ayaf, he had a stop once. He had a flap the wings twice. I have no idea what this means. My mashma, the hayachad, Michael, hamar Rav Yochanan, achi echad achad. It's the way the pasuk was written. Kiv achad vayaf elai achad. Nothing.
Same author.
Right, it's the same author. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Same author. But like I always say, whenever that happens, there's always a connection. I just haven't had time to think about it. Figure out there. Usually, it's not just the same author. Usually, there's some connection. But I don't know. I'm okay. I forgot to review this part a second time when I prepared. I forgot. You know. So okay. Echad min asrafim b'chdiv hatam v'nei Michael echad min asrishnim. Baila Azraini. Tana Michael Bechad Gabriel Bishtaim Elia Barba. So when Michael goes somewhere, he does it in one trip, Gabriel 2, Elia 4, Umalach HaMavet Bishmona. In a sense, the Malach HaMavet works more slowly to give you an opportunity to push him off 8 times. Mishar HaMagefa. But when there's a plague, a terrible thing, the Malach HaMavet, it strikes too quickly. Amar Yeshua, that's good, perfect timing. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Afagav Shakar Adam Kriyat Shema Beveda HaKnesset. Now we're back to our topic. Even though a person has read Kriyat Shema and Shul, Mitzvah Likroto Al Hamila, Kriyat Shema Al Hamita. Amar Rav Yossi Maikra, what's the biblical source or the biblical allusion? Rigzu Val Techtu, Amar Bil Vavchem Al Mishkaftam. You should on your beds, Amishkavam Vidomusela, and then go to sleep. But you should sing out to God, which they're alluding to Kriyat Shema, and Amar Rav Nachman will get the three words in Tami Chacham who ain't Sarich. A Tami Chacham doesn't have to say Kriyat Shema Al Hamita. So please, God, we'll continue tomorrow night with the discussion. Okay? Yashur Koach. Rashi, by the way, Rashi, very importantly, the first Rashi in the Masechet, says the minhag. Jacob Katz is a very famous article, if you know the historian. It was common throughout Jewish history, especially in pre-modern times. Everybody davened Maariv early, not just on Friday nights, all year. People didn't want to be out at night. So they have a marfred. So the question, when, how are they yotzei kriyat shema? So add all these times, when say kriyat shema. So Tosafot, you can say kriyat shema before it's dark. You don't really have to wait till it's dark. There are lots of opinions like that. So Rashi says, you're yotzei with kriyat shema alamita. You don't have to say the whole shema over again. Just, it's enough to say kriyat shema alamita.
So you're ending with
kriyat shema.
Maybe this is...
Okay, and I don't, it seems to be a different one, right? But
this is Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, by the way, who says this, who was of the ABBA.
Ah, okay, okay.
It
is Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. That's correct. Yeah, okay, it's interesting. You have to think about that. Why? But maybe he knew he lost, so he wanted to stick it in. I'll give it in at the end then. Right. Okay, could very well be. Okay, Yashar Koach, thank you very much. Okay. I come back inspired from this, you know. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it's Baruch Hashem. This is wonderful. I saw that post in Facebook.